I have the privilege of bringing God's word this morning. So praise God. And how good is this series, Tree of Life, just to keep us focused on the power of God's growth in us. And today's message is called Grow. And John and I, we now have two little grandbabies and we have a grandson who's 8 years old in the family, and it's really delightful watching all their milestones, you know, from when they have their first smile to their rolling over to getting their teeth to begin crawling, to begin walking, one day heading off to school, one day having jobs and careers, one day getting married, and it's like then the cycle will come again. One day John and I might be great grandparents. I don't even want to think about how old I'll be by then. Flip my age. I better start doing that. Now, it doesn't enter our minds that the children won't grow through these milestones. We don't think for a minute. Some a little bit slower than others, but eventually they're going to get through, particularly if they have good nutrition, if they have education, encouragement, modelling from us as their parents. We don't stand watch over the children at nighttime, willing them to grow. If anything, we're sort of having to rush out and buy the next set of clothes because they're growing so quickly. We feed them, we care for them, we love them, we educate them, we pray for them, and then we train them in the way that they should go, according to God's word. And God expects the same of us as his children. Now, when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and we've made him Lord of our lives, then we literally become like spiritual babies. We're at the beginning. And if we are given a healthy environment with spiritual feeding and nurturing and a loving church family, then we expect that we're just going to grow. People don't have to will that over us. We're going to grow, we're going to mature, so that one day, as Pastor Phil said earlier, we're going to be able to help others in their growth journey. The very first thing that God did at creation was he made a garden. He made things that would grow and he put people in the garden to care for that garden. And that tells us from the very beginning that God is a God of growth and increase. And everything he created had the potential for growth and multiplication, reproduction. Plants produce seeds that would then produce more plants. Animals and even mankind produced eggs, would have young. From the very start was an expectation of this growth. God created, what he created in the natural order was a pattern that was imprinted for what he created in the spiritual. Now, belonging to the family of God is actually meant to be a growth experience. There should be no stagnated or stunted Christians unless something's blocking the growth, or maybe they're not in a healthy environment, or they're not being nurtured. And because God promises to us that when we are planted in healthy community, healthy church family, and we're watered and we're fed by the Spirit, that we will grow. And yet we read in the Bible, Paul writes these letters to the Corinthian church because they've got problems. There's some growth problems. And there's immaturity in some of the believers. So we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 9. It'll be up on the screen for you. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world, or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You're jealous of one another and you quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like the people of the world? When one says, I'm a follower of Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, aren't you just acting like people of the world? After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? This is Paul writing this. So he's talking about himself here. We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. And each of us did the work that the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. It is not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work, for we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. You are God's garden. Now, Corinthian immaturity, it looked like jealousy, quarrelling, being controlled by the sinful nature instead of being controlled by the Spirit. There was comparison, and there was some sort of celebrity culture going on, who they thought was top dog. Paul addresses these immaturities with the truth that it's God who makes the seed of his word grow in people's hearts. So this morning's message is simply called Grow. It's the second of our Tree of Life series. Now, trees all begin life as a seed. Unlike on the block, if you're the winning couple 1 week on the block, you get an entire tree actually planted in your garden. Well, God doesn't plant entire trees in our hearts, praise God. He starts with seeds of things in their small form. So we can't force feed people with the word of God. We plant seeds, which then are watered by the water of the Spirit because it's God who makes them grow. So what is it then that stops or slows our growth, and what is it that encourages our growth? I think this is really important under this topic, growth. In the parable of the sower, Jesus actually unpacks what impedes growing to maturity. And what's maturity? Maturity is when you become fruitful. It's bearing fruit in your life. So a seed is planted, it becomes a sapling, or seedling, which then becomes a sapling, which then becomes a tree, which then starts to bear fruit. And I think I've used the sunflower in honour of Ukraine rather than a tree. But my goodness, they are just about as big as trees. And all those seeds in the centre, one seed produces so many seeds. On my birthday, Karen Bauer gave me a box full of a sunflower head, which she'd planted from one seed that we'd given out at church. We gave those little packs of sunflower seeds. She grew one, and the box was so heavy, just with the weight of all of those seeds. Amazing. Now, in this parable, the human heart is actually described as four different types of soil with four different types of response to the seed of God's word. The parable teaches us that the human heart actually has to be prepared to receive the seed of God's word. The hard path represents a calloused heart. The rocky ground represents a shallow heart. The thorny ground represents a crowded heart. And the good soil represents a fruitful heart. Now, if we understand the heart conditions, we'll understand what gets in the way of growth. Just like a garden that needs preparation work, we can identify where are our hearts at different times. If we want God's word to continually be planted in our heart and continually be producing new growth for the next season of our life, we need to be able to identify the condition of people's hearts who we're going on the journey with. Where are their hearts at as we try to plant the seed of God's word in the heart of others? We planted our beautiful front garden nearly 2 years ago now, and we can't just plant and forget. That thing requires continual weeding, continual turning over of the soil, fresh fertilizer. It needs fresh mulch put in and around the gardens. The edges need to be trimmed again in order for that garden to stay looking good. We need to remove some dead plants before, and we also need to put some new plants. Some plants didn't work, so out they go, and some new ones go in their place. We have as people, have new seasons of growth in our lives, new things that God wants to do in us with new opportunities that are opening up to us. And these new opportunities are going to require new growth in us. Are we prepared to do the preparation work? Like a garden, our hearts require constant attention and maintenance. We can't content ourselves with the growth we had 5 years ago. Had a smashing season 5 years ago. God did so much in me then. What does God want to do in us now? And are we prepared to let the gardener of our heart in and work what needs to be done so that we're ready for the word that's going to come in seed form for the next new thing? I want to look at the four types of hearts, and the first one was the hard path, the calloused heart. Now, soil will become hard where it has had many feet walking on it, and that soil becomes compacted. And when we kind of recklessly open ourselves to many influences, maybe unhealthy influences, we're in danger of having parts of our heart kind of compacted and it becoming hard. Or perhaps your heart has been trampled by others, wounded by others, things that have gone on in your life that maybe you weren't open to, but it's caused a trampling on your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, all right? Life goes on, things go on, because it's the wellspring of life. Now, you may have started off with a soft heart, but hurts, disappointment, unforgiveness have marched over the soil of our hearts, trampling it down, hardening it. Because hard, calloused hearts are actually hard of hearing, all right? They're hard of hearing. The word gets snatched away, because there's nowhere for the word to take root. And the moisture of the Holy Spirit can't even penetrate because the heart has become hardened and calloused. Calloused hearts need to be softened up so that the seed can once again be planted and sprout. Now, when the Israelites became hardened because of all their idolatry, Jeremiah prophesied these words, and these are great words for us. These are words that should give us great hope, whatever condition our hearts are in. Jeremiah 4:3-4, it says, break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves, circumcise your hearts. He was talking to Israel because through their idolatry, their hearts had become hard. And their hearts needed to be replowed. Now, plowing, do we have anyone who's been off doing farm work over the years, like had to do serious? All right, you would be able to tell me the hard work that plowing is. No farmer considers sowing seed before he plows the ground. Doesn't matter how good last year's crop was. He's going to go through, sometimes they even plow in last year's old crop to give fresh fertilizer for the soil. Even the ground that has been fruitful will now be plowed again before fresh seed is planted. Plowing is part of the preparation process to prepare the soil. Now, calloused hearts can actually become plowed through trials and difficulties. We know the story of Joel. And again, this was not his doing, but he goes through a season of great suffering. But that season is then followed by great fruitfulness and growth. That great suffering led to a tremendous plowing, even in Job's heart. He came to know God in ways he did not know God before. Often there is a window of opportunity to sow the word of God into hearts during times of crisis and trial. And I guess that's our team. We're going loaded up with the word. Hearts will be very ploughed to receive and softened. The greatest times of growth occur through times of trial of suffering. Why? Because it's at those times we've got nowhere else to turn. It's at those times when we're on our knees or we're crying out because we need God. We can't do it by ourselves. I've shared with you before, my mother's death was that time. It was like a pivotal time in my life where my heart got so ploughed up through grief and through loss. It shifted me from what I was doing and it set me on the trajectory that leads me to where I am even today. I attribute any growth I've had, it occurred because of that season of ploughing and the softening of my heart by the Holy Spirit. Times of change. Unsettling times, moving, changing jobs, broken relationships or even a health crisis lead to times of great ploughing in our lives. The ploughing of our hearts then actually triggers new growth. And I believe that great growth is actually going to occur in our Ukrainian ladies who come to this conference, because they have been in the crucible of suffering and of loss, and their hearts will be ready to receive. And it's personal loss, but it's a national identity. So actually, I think you watch the nation of Ukraine in the coming years, you're going to see a fruitfulness there like we've not seen before. The good news is that calloused hearts can be softened. It can be dug up. No one's beyond hope. So surrender to the gardener of our hearts, and a new work and a new season of growth is possible for all of us. The rocky soil, which represented the shallow hearts. Now, typical biblical Palestine is a very thin layer of soil over mostly rock. That's what the countryside looks like. Initially, seeds sprout, but there's nowhere for the roots to really go down. The soil is not deep, and so the sun soon withers the new plant. Part of this parable actually illustrates what I call emotional hearers. Joyfully accept God's word, but don't understand the cost of becoming a Christian and what will be involved and the change in their lives. There's great initial enthusiasm, but then opposition and difficulties can cause the enthusiasm to wane and joy dissipates. We get really excited when a friend or a close family member comes to the Lord, but more than ever then, that is when we need to pray, because there will be the testing time. And is the soil deep enough for the roots to go down? We can actually test the depth of the soil of our hearts by how willing we are to be in God's word. How willing are we to worship? How willing are we to serve? How willing are we to build relationships? If we're not willing to get involved, those think the growth will be very short-lived. Prayer cover is for new believers is essential. Prayer cover for us always is essential. And cyclical ploughing must become a lifestyle along with the softening presence of the Holy Spirit to keep us where we need to be. The third one is the thorny ground, which are the crowded hearts. And even home gardeners will advise that if you want to put new plants in, you need to rip out the weeds, rip out the thorns, clear that soil in order for optimal growth of new plants, because a crowded garden doesn't allow much room for growth. So I've been in our garden, a whole section wildly overgrown. I've just ripped it all out. It's all looking a bit bare at the moment, but I'll be able to plant new things in there. The seed that fell on thorny ground grew a little, but it quickly got choked by weeds and thorns. So the thorny ground represents crowded hearts. The words received, but weeds of various sin or influences remain in the heart. And there are many kinds of seeds that grow up in this heart, worldly cares and worries and fears and desires. The good seed actually doesn't have much room to grow, and it remains stunted, and therefore it doesn't bear fruit. We can identify with crowded hearts. We have times when that is us. So much vying for our attention alongside the things of God. The weeds of remaining sin, the weeds of unforgiveness, the weed of greed, worldly desire stunt the growth of the kingdom of God in our hearts. For us to grow to maturity and to be able to bear fruit, there needs to be ongoing weeding out. And we just have to talk to the Holy Spirit about that. Is there anything going on that shouldn't be going on? What needs to be weeded out and removed? You know, the best time to get rid of a weed is when you see it, because if you don't rip it out, you know, you'll probably forget it. Also, the best time to go weeding is right now while it's raining, all right? The rain has softened the ground, so you can get out there and you can pull that out and get the whole weed out and the roots out as well. That's the best time to do the weeding. As Holy Spirit reveals a weed, a distraction, something that's growing in our hearts, we just come into agreement with him like he shows us and we go, oh, yeah. That's not helpful. That's a distraction. That's a hindrance, Lord. And we agree with him and we confess it. It's there. I ask that you remove it. And simply owning it, confessing it, that's it. That's how the weed gets ripped out. That's been choking us. So what's choking you at present? What's choking your friends or your family? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what's limiting your growth. Prayer is like a great trowel that's digging up and loosening the soil in our hearts. Acknowledge it, confess it, and God will break its power. Weeds of complacency probably choked me for a long time because I kind of believed the lie that there was a lot of time for various family members to find the Lord. You know, it's not that I hadn't given it a shot, but sometimes when you get rejections, you kind of lay it down again. But then when we lost three family members in close succession, that was like a jolt that you cannot afford to be complacent, Deb. He reminded me that time is short and that the weeds of complacency had to be extracted. Recently, I know Denise had invited some friends to church and they were going to be coming over in just the last couple of weeks. But I'm sure you heard of the terrible accident of a 59-year-old man on a moped and collided with some teenage kids who were driving recklessly and he lost his life. And so Denise's friend, this was the husband of Denise's friend Anita, just gone unexpectedly. The Sunday after his death was the Sunday they were coming to church. Man. Now Denise is grieved about this, but Denise does not have regrets because she had shared the good news of Jesus. She had invited to church. She'd had many conversations with this couple, and so she could be confident that their hearts were soft to Jesus and that they had a simple faith. Crowded hearts require weeding and prayer and loving conversations with those who are discipling us. The fourth one, the good soil, fruitful hearts. Seed that falls on good soil will grow easily. It sends down its deep roots that grow to maturity and very quickly bear fruit. Noble hearts, noble and good hearts, they hear the word and they retain it and they persevere through the trials and they produce crops that are 30, 60, 100-fold, like those sunflowers, one seed and hundreds of seeds in its place. Now, it's not that the good soil doesn't suffer the same bad conditions that the rocky soil has, that the thorny soil has, that the shallow or calloused, the hardened path has. Under the same sun, same wind conditions, same assault from the elements, same rain, same lack of rain. So it's not that the good soil doesn't have those experiences as the other types of ground face. But there's the regular tending, the regular tilling, ploughing, weeding, watering, so that the soil remains soft, so that roots can go down deep. James 1 verse 2 to 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith," right, the heat and the sun of life, "develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." When we bail out, or if we bail out in hard times, we miss the opportunity to become mature and to bear fruit. And we will have to circle that mountain again. Circle the mountain again. You see, we can't short circuit growth. There's no such thing as spiritual steroids that you can take so that you can be instant super Christian. Ta-da! You have to go through the process. You have to go through the growth. You have to put the word in. You have to be discipled. It's wonderful if someone, you know, people pray for you, but that's not going to be an instant hit. And yes, we want prayer and we want more of the Holy Spirit, but unless we do the ploughing and the tilling and the weeding, then the growth is going to be limited. We need to persevere in God's word. We need to surrender to the gardener of our hearts in order to continue growth. Colossians 2, 6 to 7, and this is actually one of the scriptures that our interns have as a rock scripture. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let your roots grow down deep. When we redid the garden, because honestly, our front garden was tragic. It was just hard dirt. Nothing was going on there. So when we renovated, there was no good soil. We actually had to import soil. We had to dig large troughs, bring soil in, put fertilizer in, watering and mulch before we planted those plants. And I remember at one of the garden centers having a chat with this very experienced gardener. And he said something to me that has really impacted me. He said, "You plant a 50-cent plant in a $5 hole." And it took me a little minute to figure that out. Plant a 50-cent plant in a $5 hole. In other words, put the work in the hole. Make the hole for that plant bigger than you think it needs to be. Fill it with rich soil. Fill it with fertilizer. Make sure it's watered. Then you can put a 50-cent plant in it and it will go gangbusters. It's all in the preparation of the soil. Why did Jesus tell the parable of the sower? Jesus didn't tell it to us to make us fatalistic and, well, you can plant seed, but only maybe one quarter of it will grow. That is not the message behind the parable. Jesus used the parable to teach his disciples about heart conditions. He said, not everyone's ready to receive the word right now. It might take a bit of work. Observe the seasons in people's lives if they're ready. Preparation of our hearts for growth is required if we want to see the full potential come. And Jesus wanted his disciples to understand people's hearts. And he wants us to be the same today. And he wants us to have our hearts surrendered to the gardener of our hearts, who loves us and he longs to pour his goodness into us, the richness of his word. And he wants every opportunity for us to be all that he calls us to be, because that's how his kingdom will come here on earth. God even described his own chosen people, Israel, as hard-hearted and stiff-necked. Lovely. How'd you like to be in that church? Hard-hearted and stiff-necked. And yet, repeatedly, he reveals himself to them afresh and he pleads with them to return to him. He continually sends his prophets to them to sow the word into their hearts. You see, a farmer continues to sow each season. Every season there's new seed. Don't think, oh, well, I've had no growth and I haven't been fruitful yet. Well, that's it for me. He comes with more seed. He comes with opportunity for the tilling of our hearts. He expects every season new growth. He wants to sow his word into our hearts and for us to sow it into others' hearts. And he'll plow the ground through adversity. He'll send the rain of his Holy Spirit to soften the hard places. And you know what that is? That's grace. New seasons. If you've had a rough time of late, guess what? New growth is probably around the corner. If you've had a rough time, there's been a ploughing and there's opportunity for growth. Nothing is impossible for God. He turns the driest desert into the ground that will spring with springs. I'm going to jump to my conclusion now to just save us some time. Okay. The giant redwoods of California. This is what I want to finish on, so if the worship team would like to come up. The giant redwoods of California are the world's tallest trees. They grow up to 115 metres tall, and they can have a diameter of 8 metres. And I felt I had to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So if you imagine speaker box to speaker box is the diameter of one of those trees. Just phenomenal. Some redwoods, and they live for over 2,000 years. So that means some of the redwoods that are standing now were saplings when Jesus walked the earth. I love the thought of that. They're an evergreen tree and they are highly valued because they're a beautiful lightweight timber. The redwood, however, has two other great characteristics that make it such a valued tree. They are incredibly durable because the redwood is resistant to decay. That's why it can live for over 2,000 years. They're also fire resistant because the redwood doesn't produce much resin. And so even in the great fire of San Francisco in 1906, which just about wiped the city out, the only buildings that were still standing were the buildings that were made from Californian redwood because they were so fire resistant. For redwoods to grow, the water has to actually be drawn up 115 meters. To their foliage. Now, this is not done through the power of the roots, like sucking like a straw. It's not the roots, it's done by a pull from above. Through photosynthesis, the sun, if you imagine the foliage at the top, evaporates the water out of the leaves, and that's what creates the pulling power all the way down to the roots of the tree. When the redwood is positioned and planted in groups, with access to the sun, they have had them live for 2,200 years. The sun, the light of the sun, literally pulling the water from the earth all the way up that 115 meters. Only the light of Christ, if we're in it, can pull that kind of growth potential out of us. Only as we accept the gardener of our hearts, only as we cooperate with him and bask in the light of his son Jesus, does the full growth come. We're meant to be in our hearts. Why live stunted or dwarfed, inferior lives? Why tolerate hardened hearts? Why accept unfruitfulness when all the help from the gardener of our hearts is being made available to us? I want to finish with this last verse one more time from Jeremiah 4. Break up the unplowed ground of your hearts. Don't waste your seed among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts. Ezekiel 36:26 says, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and I'll give you a tender and a responsive heart. Where are our hearts at this morning? We're going to stand in just a moment. We're going to worship together. Worship is a time where some plowing can happen. Lord, we can surrender ourselves to the gardener of our hearts. He can do a work in us where maybe we're thinking we're stuck. Some of you feel stuck. He wants to unstick us, and he wants the fullness of growth to come about.